Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum, featuring timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. This season, we're in conversation with the keynote speakers from ISF's 2021 Digital Congress. Today, ISF CEO Steve Durbin is in conversation with Max McCune, a writer, consultant, and researcher specializing in innovation strategy, leadership, and culture. He and Steve talk about effective communication, resilience, and how to lead with long-term vision when you feel overwhelmed by day-to-day tasks.
Max, thanks very much for coming along and talking
Steve,
to me.
Steve, delight.
You spoke at our Congress, Digital 2021.
Yes.
And very well received, very different. I think a lot of people have said to me, you know, that the sort of concept of you standing there and drawing was really captivating for a lot of them. Others have talked to me about, you know, how did you come up with the terms, you know, bloody island, beautiful, paradise, and all that sort of movement and so on, and, you know, nowism. And of course, people listening to this podcast are probably sitting there going, what on earth is he talking about?
Yeah, even worse.
Because
it was different and we didn't watch it.
Exactly. So let's start with that. What is nowism? Because you've written about it, you talked about it at our Congress. Give us the 30 seconds. What is nowism and why is it appropriate today?
It has a number of threads, which I'll try to get to quickly. One is it's the art of always moving forward.
Right.
So it takes what many people may believe, but the idea that you are always better, almost always better, to just keep moving forward, whether you have to sort of pull yourself along or run along. So movement is good for us physically and otherwise. And so it has this, I guess, anti-procrastination mode, not telling you off, not telling you to do to-do lists, but saying just keep the movement going. If you don't start, you're finished type of idea. And it also comes from the idea that you have to grab hold of an opportunity in the moment and link what you do now
right.
with what you eventually would like.
Okay.
And it can be very easy to become overwhelmed with the demands of now, even the demands of yesterday or your task list, instead of connecting very much what you do now with where you would like to get to, taking a moment to see what the end objective is and then create space that allows you to get to where you want to move to.
Right. Okay. So as a security professional, because a lot of people listening to this aren't security professionals, how can we take that and drop it into the day-to-day work of people who are hugely stressed, having to respond in the moment, perhaps some might say, because what you're suggesting is perhaps introducing some sort of longevity to the thinking process. And a lot of people would legitimately, you could argue, come back to, I don't have that time. I've just got to respond. I've just got to get on to the next thing. How do we blend those two things together?
I think one thing that's really helpful is knowing that you are free to choose
right.
at this point. And I think that's really at the heart of nowism as well. You are free to choose, as Sartre said. I can't tell you what to choose, but you are free to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that people believe that that is the case, and the psychological evidence bears that out, when we feel strong, we feel capable of making a choice, and we are aware of more choices, we stop making the excuse that I can't, I'm too busy,
right.
because we know that's a choice too. And I totally feel for them. There are a lot of people in this world who are even busier than your security professionals,
mm-hmm.
but many of them are juggling many, many things, impossible lists,
mm-hmm.
impossible demands. But I think one, knowing that you are free to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Two, by dividing your timelines, your horizons into different pieces,
right.
we can say, how do I cope with today, but with grace?
Mm-hmm.
How do I not resent the interruption? Because the interruption is inevitable.
Right.
There's a piece of research that was done in a hospital, and it showed that when people accepted that they would be interrupted through their day, they didn't resent being interrupted by colleagues.
Okay.
So accepting that life is interruption
mm-hmm.
in the day-to-day and accepting it with grace, that's good. But then moving outside and saying, however hard I work today, that won't help me solve the bigger problem and take us to a new level. I have to give myself enough slack to solve next month's problems or take us somewhere much better in a year or 2 years. And I think by dividing it into parts, maybe even planning out your schedule a bit
mm-hmm.
that says today is for today's task, busy, 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 busy. But actually tomorrow I've blocked out what to do over this quarter. And on Friday, we're going to talk about where we're really going to get to in a year or two,
mm-hmm.
because I owe that to myself and to the business. And by doing that, it becomes somewhat simpler to colour code your life.
Yeah, it's about change, isn't it? It's about the management of change, how you cope with change and indeed transformation. And when I look at the security industry, it's still, in my view, a very young industry, a very immature industry. It's going through tremendous amounts of rapid change. And one of the things I think that very many still are trying to come to terms with is this need to align security, which in some instances can be quite a technical area, with the business.
Yeah.
And overlaying that, of course, is strategy, because ultimately, if you go forward not too far into the future, the two will meld together and it will be seamless. So how do we help to provide that kind of roadmap during a process of transformation, of change, where we also have to take into account not just security professionals, but also now business people too, because we want to bring them all together? How do we do that?
I'm going to give you something very practical.
Great.
Which is unusual, perhaps. Maybe I should give
it. Be practical, please.
Not for me. I like being practical. But what I would suggest to anybody who actually wants to do that, to be more strategic in their work, is to grab it's free, it's online, it's the Speed Strategy Canvas.
Right.
And it's in the strategy book as well. But as I said, there's a free downloadable version. And on one page, I put it in the 10th anniversary edition of the strategy book, because somebody asked me this exact question. How do I come up with a really, I think they said shit hot,
right,
to quote them, but how do I come up with this strategy, but quickly? Mm-hmm. I'm so busy. How do I communicate my strategy? And so I put the five fundamental questions that strategy seeks to answer, plus driving and restraining forces, all on one canvas. And it really does help the non-strategic person to start thinking in a strategic way, and also communicating it to other people, though. So if they say this is the desirable end, mm-hmm. and you'll remember from the Congress, I define strategy as about, you fill in this box about desirable ends, and I don't know what you put in there. You say no attacks or no successful breaches or whatever it is you mm-hmm. put in there. You just put your best effort in and you say, but where are we at the moment? And you see what the gap is between those and what would be possible. And then you look at what's stopping you and what is driving you towards it. And then and this is important, you then share it mm-hmm. with another person.
Okay.
Maybe your business equivalent. And you say, look, this is what I think I'm trying to achieve, but where do you differ from this? Mm-hmm. And maybe that person says, well, look, we can't do no breaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not my exact world, although I work with many of your members.
Yeah.
But it may be that being fast is more important than the occasional problem. Mm-hmm. It may be that just keeping the backup safe
right.
is the most important thing. And you really make it clear that all this technical jargon or important technical detail, as you see it, is not that important to them. They want to stop people stealing from them, stop damaging the company's reputation by mm-hmm. doing something bad, and they want to have their backup so that they're operational. These three things are all business care about from the security point of view. Mm. If you've got those in your desirable ends list,
yeah.
I think then you can discuss how to use resources and how to make business operational decisions and processes or hiring or cultural decisions that help you get there, even if they're outside of your immediate to-do list or technical roadmap. And I think that would, it's always helped in the past, and I think that would help many of your members to have a more strategic discussion.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the things you said that really struck me as well in the Congress was you said, and I won't get the words right, but it was something along the lines of, you should always try to use the language of the person you're speaking to,
yes,
rather than yours. And I think that also is a very strong message, because it's all very easy. It doesn't matter whether you're security, IT, medical, you know, you all have your own jargon, don't you, your own language. And I think one of the things that's very important is to be able to convey the message in the language that is understood. And what you've just been talking about at least provides some sort of framework.
A mechanism.
For that, doesn't it?
A few words, not a lot of, absolutely. And I think it's, as soon as you realize that as a person, that you want to communicate, not insist on somebody learning your language, you're the person who has that responsibility, I think. You know, if it was the business person, maybe the CEO could learn your technical language. maybe, but it's far more likely that you're going to, you know, that Hollywood line, say that again in English. Yep. They always say in some kind of sci-fi thriller, say that again in English. Well, I asked a French friend this summer, what do they say, you know, here? And they said exactly the same. They say it again in French. Right. There's that demand that somebody would speak to you in the easiest possible way. And I think that would help a great deal of people to get their message across, or even maybe to find what their message is. What is it they are trying to achieve? They've been promoted up through the ranks inside a corporation. Maybe they've forgotten what the purpose is from monitoring a network to the next layer up, the next level up. Is it chief of security operations or something, CISO? You know, you get to that stage, maybe you've forgotten a little bit about what its purpose is and are not communicating it to the rest of your own team even. We're not here to stop people. We're here to facilitate business. That's our purpose.
So strong communication basically is what we're talking about in the language that people understand, using common tools, common frameworks that people can relate to that really help to focus on the key issues. Let me switch slightly now, because you work a lot with boards around the world as well. And when I talk to boards, I think one of the things that always strikes me is they're getting better, but there's something of a lack of understanding of the magnitude of a breach, of a security incident. It doesn't have to be a cataclysmic breach that takes a company down. But, and again, I'm thinking about some of the things you've just been talking about, the frameworks and so on, which can be applied in that area. But based on your experience of working with boards and developing strategy, how often do you get into issues of security or indeed things that would have such an impact on a company that it could take it off air for days, weeks, as indeed with a large scale.
Well, I suppose with my work, again, the audience won't have seen this, but I talk about WTF moments, and I talk about WTF waves, and these things that build up and build up and suddenly have sort of maybe a catastrophic impact at one point in time and are a surprise, or have been building for a long time, the long emergency that eventually happens. So we do talk about those things. And I think by starting and describing them in that way, which I do visually, then the various specialist areas of the business, the chief of, the CFO, the CMO, the CEO, the COO, they all come to that and say, okay, but for me, what is that wave? What could destroy the company is exactly what I ask. In fact, I ask, how would you kill your company? Okay. We do a shark session and we talk about, if you had to destroy your own company, where would you start? How quickly could you do it? And so the CSO can say, well, I would have this massive, you know, extinction level event. But the CMO would say, well, it would be the result of that product being copied. If it was copied, we'd have nothing, that kind of thing. And I think that by asking the question that way round, it does open people up to saying, well, this could kill us, this could hurt us, this could keep us where we are, this could keep us slightly behind. And allowing them to see it in levels really invites them to discuss it at a level that they understand, not at the level that just makes their eyes roll back in their eyelids. I mean, nobody likes other people's jargon.
No, no, absolutely. And then it's about balance, isn't it? It's about the board or the group of individuals that we've got together deciding what makes sense, basically. How do you support them through that process?
To helping the board understand and make sense of it. Well, if I was in this CSO style role, if I was there trying to communicate, I would bring somebody into a meeting and explain in one go, in one exciting marketing style event, borrowing all the clothes from all your other colleagues, something that made every part of your job relatable. So, you know, I talk about idea zombies and I draw an idea zombie. Talk about idea sharks and idea babies and I draw them all. And now we're sometime after the Congress and you still remember what we were talking about. And I have clients who 20 years ago, I described some of these concepts and they still, their whole workforce talks about them on a regular basis. So there's no reason at all that you couldn't bring to life in that kind of cartoonish way your business. I don't think it dumbs it down. We've seen through COVID, you have to communicate in a very clear way. Japan has little emoji that are the shape of COVID viruses to explain to people how to work. And they have little vaccine characters to do little vaccine dances. And that probably makes it clearer in a Sesame Street style way what we're talking about than trying to stay dull. So I would open it up and ask your colleagues for help to explain the problem, and then ask them to move the pieces all around without any need. How are we going to stop that bad thing getting in here? Draw him as a robber and make it clear what it is. How do we get that snooper over there and have him as a voyeur? And that, I think, maybe would help.
And I think that's a really helpful piece of advice as well, because very often members will come to us, CISOs in particular. I'm thinking particularly in the financial services space, because that's where a lot of them are coming to us from at the moment, and ask that question, how do I get this message across to a trader, you know, who is only interested in making the trade time and time and time again? As far as he's concerned, if one piece of technology goes down, he needs another one that works straight away. And I had a conversation with somebody not that long ago who's saying, we've got one particular person in the business who is outstanding. He's our best salesperson. But his security hygiene, to use that sort of terminology, which probably immediately turns the bloke off, isn't where it needs to be. And so again, we're sort of mixing jargon, we're mixing, you know, business with security. And the sort of thing you're talking about, I think, provides again this useful way, this useful framing for people to get their heads around the importance of it. Because for me, that's one of the things we have to do from a security standpoint. We have to make it relevant to you as an individual. If we can do that, then we're on to something.
And then we, absolutely. I think it's, if you don't want a data breach, store no data.
Right. Yeah.
If you want no extinction level event, have no data, have no business. And I think that this can be an educational process for all sides of this discussion, so that the security people also understand what the point of them is. The point of them is to keep the business going, to not get sued, to not get stolen from, and so on. And if they understand what they're for, they can explain it better up to other groups and show them how they can help. I mean, it's just like everything else. I'd steal from lots of people. I'd steal from the usability colleagues and say, how do we make it simpler to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing? Because if you make something hard and optional, people won't do it. Well, unfortunately, some of the professionals are the people with the problem. You know, like, is it cloud permissions is one of the latest ones, with professionals making the error. But at least you could explain it to the group above you. How does this work? And then start explaining it to the rest of the group and having a communication. I think, you know, it is a competitive advantage to not be destroyed by breaches and similar, to be a trustworthy company. And I'd have both the threat, we'd like to avoid this, how much is that worth? And then also the opportunity, would it be good to be known for this? But then still understand your place in the team. You're not everything, you're part of a team.
And I think the other piece as well that we mustn't forget is that at some point there will be some kind of security incident. We can never put it off. It's a bit like death and taxes. You know, it's always going to happen. It's simply a question of when. And I think changing some of the language there as well. You know, we talk, I think, all too often about a failure in security. It's not a failure, in my view. It's because we've gone through a natural progression. And at some point on that journey, we are going to have something that goes wrong. It's the same with a car. It's the same with anything that we have. And so I think shifting into this different cultural mode that says, it isn't about apportioning blame. It's about anticipating what might go wrong. That's why you take out roadside assistance, for instance. You've anticipated at some point in the future there may be a problem, and so you've done something about
it. And so you have, I like the analogies used, because it brings it to life for that other, I think for all audiences. When you had highways, as I mentioned in my keynote, when you had highways, you get highway robbers. I know this is old language, but we now have a super highway, information highway. We have super information highway robbers. That's going to continue, because the rate of money flowing through the internet is greater and is growing faster than any other source of money, and it's easier to do. So this will continue, and I think you're absolutely right. There are shoplifting supermarkets, but that doesn't stop retailers opening, and they don't instantly fire the head of security because something got stolen. And the same with bank robberies. What you do is you try again and say, okay, what can we do this time to avoid that damaging our business? But there is no excuse for not having a backup that's that is safe from hackers destroying all the backups.
No, you've got to have some
Some bottom lines, some real bottom lines that say, no, CEO, honest to God, before you go to sleep, somebody has got to sort of tap you on the shoulder and say, we've got the backup, we've tested the backup, it's in a place that is untouched, that is air safe, it's untouched from anybody else. Because I think people do need to know what the bottom line is. Mm-hmm. So to distinguish, as you say, between the bottom line things and then the stuff that's always going to happen, so that we know they're not the same thing. Somebody, you know, stole everything from us is not the same as somebody stole some knickers mm-hmm. from our lingerie counter today. They're not the same level of breach.
Right. You did that on purpose, didn't you? Breach and knickers. You did, didn't you? You couldn't resist.
It wasn't
could
bad life,
you couldn't
was
resist.
It?
You couldn't.
It's just in the
just
head.
To, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Max, it's been wonderful talking to
it's
you.
Been really
it's
good.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming along and speaking at our Congress. Very well received. And also for taking time to just go over some of those key points with me on this particular podcast. So thanks a lot,
You're very
Dr.
welcome.
Max.
Total pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks to this week's guest, Max McCune. Next week, Steve sits down with computer programmer, philanthropist, and co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak. It's a special Q&A you won't want to miss. Here's a preview of that conversation.
Even the head in a company, a large company, has maybe a CTO, you know, or a CIO, but has to rely on all the people beneath them to try to give their input that comes from millions of others. And you can never be 100% sure these days. It's so easy to make one tiny error that has a huge impact. Our systems should be designed to be robust. The word robust means if you make even major changes on the input data, you get very little fluctuation of the output. Mm-hmm. It's very stable. The opposite of that is a tiny little mistake leads to a huge, huge, horrible outcome.
We'll be back for the full conversation in a week. In the meantime, is there a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode? Let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find the catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. Find us on LinkedIn by searching CEO Steve Durbin or Security Forum. Follow our audio feed wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll never miss an episode. And if you like the ISF podcast, we'd love it if you'd write a short review. The ISF podcast is produced by TalkBox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, associate producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Brian Barney. Thanks for listening.